The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Church family, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, as Andrew mentioned to you, we're returning back to the book of Acts, our series that we've been in for a little while, and this title, The Beginning and the Multiplication of the Church. I want to talk to you today about faithfulness to God in the routine. I think that in our just daily living of trying to be faithful to God, we might wonder, the question is, am I really accomplishing anything for Christ in the routine? Sometimes we think just the normal daily activities, and we're expecting to do something maybe extraordinary, and we're thinking maybe that God can't use us just in the ordinary. I want to encourage your hearts today that as we're going to see Paul and Silas and Timothy, as they are moving along in their second missionary journey, they're just being faithful to what God has in front of them. But as along the journey, as they are trying to be faithful, something happens in their faithfulness, and that is they run into some closed doors of opportunities. Those of us who are following the Lord, we may sometimes wonder, why is it that God doesn't allow certain doors to be opened over our life? Maybe even closed door opportunity of trying to share the gospel with someone, or maybe just a pattern of our life, or maybe an opportunity or a job or something, and we're not really sure, why does this door not seem to get opened? And you look at your own life and you say, but God, and you look at the first step as what we're going to see today, but God, I'm being faithful. And sometimes we look inwardly and say, what have I done that the door is not opened? Why is it closed? And then what we're going to see as well in this passage of Scripture is that then there begins to be a door that's opened that Paul and Silas and Timothy weren't even expecting to happen in their life at all. And I think if we will look in this text today, we will see that in our own lives, we will learn and realize that when we're faithful to God, God can open up doors that we haven't even planned to open or even saw in our future. I want to encourage you today that God is pleased when we are faithful in the ordinary. How could we expect God to open up a new door for new opportunities if we're not faithful in what's already in front of us? I want to encourage you today, whether you are a person who serves in ministry or whether you're just looking at your regular life, God calls us all to be faithful to Him in the things that we have. Faithful as a godly husband, faithful as a godly wife, faithful as a godly grandparent, faithful as a Christian worker, faithful as a Christian employee, maybe faithful as a Christian boss, and just being faithful in the things that God has for us. Sometimes in our hearts we're saying, God, let me just ask you, if you had this kind of prayer, God, I want to be used by you. God, I want you to do something with my life. And we're wondering if in this normal routine that God is ever going to use us for something. I want you to be encouraged today that if we're faithful, God may have a door that He's going to open up for something else. But I want to be a warning here. This is not to say that God is always going to provide something super large and grander for every person. I don't want you to walk away from that. But what we're going to all be responsible for when we stand before God is if we've been faithful to Him in every little task that He's put in front of us for His kingdom. Let's look at this passage of Scripture this morning. Acts chapter 16 is where we're going to focus text in verse 6 through 10. But I want us to go back to chapter 15, verse 36, for the sake of context, to understand what's going on. Just to remind you, in a little summation here, Paul and Silas are starting their second missionary journey. But if you remember, Paul and Barnabas had completed their first missionary journey. They've been sent out by the church. Their home church was Antioch. And they had been sent out to go spread the gospel. And they went through an island called Cyprus. And they went up to a Galatian region, sharing the gospel with Jews. Some of those Jews came to faith in Christ. Remember that first missionary journey? They were not liked by many people. They were beaten. They were run out of towns. And one place, Paul was drug out of town thinking that he was dead. And yet he got back up and he went back in there again. He was faithful to go and share the gospel. And then after that journey was complete, they went back and the Christian leaders in Jerusalem was beginning to learn that the gospel was expanding beyond Jews coming to faith in Christ, but Gentiles were coming to faith in Christ. And it caused a stir among some of the Jewish leaders. They were saying, hey, these Gentiles need to be circumcised like everybody else that were Jews, and they need to follow through certain laws. And it was what became known as the Jerusalem Council, where Christian leaders got together, Peter and Paul and James, and they all stood in defense and says, no, these things we couldn't even do. Nobody can obey the law completely and perfectly. And the whole point was to say, we're only saved by God's grace. We only are saved through His faith alone. And that was the whole point of that council. And so Paul and Barnabas stayed there in Antioch for a period of time. Then Paul had a stirring in his heart, which we're going to read here just a moment to spark our memory. He felt the burden to go back to those places, to go back to strengthen those churches. And then Paul and Barnabas divided as they went back. Paul takes Silas and Barnabas takes Mark, and Barnabas and Mark go to Cyprus. But Paul and Silas set out to go to all those places. His whole purpose was to go strengthen the churches. And I want you to get this morning. Paul's purpose was not to go to all these other new territories, but as he was faithful, God opened those territories. Let's read the text, Acts 15, verse 36 through chapter 16, verse 10. And then we'll focus on verse 6 through 10, since we've studied these other passages together. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit to brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with him John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. There arose a sharp disagreement, so they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed. Having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by his brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Now, that decision that had been reached was what we just talked about, that what was concluded is people are saved by grace alone through faith, not all this extra Jewish religious ritualism. Verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And now our text that we're going to study this morning, verse 6. And they, meaning Paul and Silas and Timothy, went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, come over here to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, today I'm using these terms, open door and closed door, in an expression that we use kind of in our society today to give a figure of speech, if you will, to talk about an open door as an opportunity, a closed door as a prevented opportunity. And that's what we're seeing in this passage of Scripture. There are two places where Paul and his team are clearly not allowed to be able to go. But before that takes place, I want to talk about his faithfulness. His faithfulness, Paul and Silas' faithfulness. You see it, if you're looking at just verse 6, it seems just like a phrase that's there in the passage of Scripture that almost just seems transitional for where they're going geographically. But if you actually understand the reason why we read this in context, is to understand why this shows us that they're being faithful to what God has called them to do. Just look at that first phrase in verse 6 again. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now, you look at that and you just say, okay, they went through it. But understand what's actually happening here is in connection with verse 4 and 5. What were they doing? They're going through Phrygia and Galatia back with what God put on their heart to do at the end of chapter 15 to go and strengthen the churches. So Phrygia and Galatia is part of that region. I'm putting on a map for you so you can actually see today, because I know how many of y'all are visual learners. Yeah. My wife's a visual learner, so it challenges me to always be thinking visually, right? All right, so if you're falling asleep today, I'm gonna come walk down the aisle and get you today, all right? So they're walking through. So you see this green area of Phrygia and Galatia that is there. This is the area that by which, that when he says going through it, Paul and Silas's heart is to care for the people. His heart's desire is to see the Christians to be strengthened in their faith. Now, understand what Paul and Silas set out to do. Paul and Silas didn't set out to get to Macedonia that we're reading about in verse 10. What they're setting out to do is to be faithful, to say, God is calling us to go strengthen these people, so let's go through these places city by city. Now, what's in those cities? Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, all the places that they had gone. Now, what's the point of that? It's this. How many of us are guilty of the things that are in front of us and the responsibilities that God has given us that we just want to rush through them just to get to the next thing? I know that when I was in seminary and hearing other seminary students all being guilty of, I just want to get done so I can go serve. Just get through. Rather than enjoying the moment of the learning. And sometimes I think we're that way in regards to the steps of where we are in our lives. We just want to get through this so we can just get to the next thing, rather than realizing that God may have you in the season right where you are. Sometimes those seasons of our lives are sometimes long. And we want that season to be over, rather than saying, okay, God, you have me in this season. Maybe a season of sickness, maybe a season of job struggle, maybe a season of financial difficulty, maybe a season of something else, and you're saying, just want to get through it, rather than looking to say, okay, God, I want to be faithful to you in the moment of this season, whatever it is that you're trying to teach me, and I want to be faithful to you. There's no guarantee in this passage of Scripture or anywhere in the Bible that any difficult seasons of our life are always going to be short. Some of you in this very church have walked through some very long seasons. And some of you, if we look at out beyond seasons, and you look at some of you have served faithfully to our Lord in certain ministries for a very long time. And you're calling it by this, as we see by Paul and Silas and Timothy, they're just wanting to be faithful, which is right in front of them. I'm reminded of the story of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You know what Jesus actually says that he's going to say to us when we stand before him? It's the parable of the person who has five talents, the person who has two, and the person who has one. The five worked with those talents while the master was away, and the master came back, and the person with the five talents says, I've turned these five into ten. You know what the master says? Well done, good and faithful servant. Same thing with the two. Master, I've taken these two that you've given me and I've turned it into two more. Just being faithful with what God had given them. And what did the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Person who had done one said, Master, I knew that you would be hard. I knew that you would be judging, and so I didn't even do anything with this. And then the master basically said to that person, you've not been a faithful servant at all. What's the point in this passage of Scripture? When we look at Acts chapter 16 and we're looking at the story and the narrative, we look at this and we say, what can we learn about God's faithfulness? And what can we learn about God in this? These are not necessarily prescriptive things. These are descriptive, describing for us these men of God in their life. And what we see is that Paul and Silas are simply going to town to say, I want to encourage these believers here in front of them. So I want to ask you this question, believer. Are you being faithful to what God has in front of you right now? Or are you murmuring? Or are you complaining? Or are you being bitter about where God has you right now? Are you being faithful? Many times we want to say, God, I want you to use me greatly. But rather than saying God used you greatly, why would God entrust us something great if he's not going to let us see us be faithful in the small? So, believer, my encouragement to you as we look at Paul and Silas, let's be faithful. Now, what happens here is when they get through doing that, look at the end of verse 6. They don't just stay. Their ministry of going and strengthening all the churches is done. They've gone through all the territories. They've gone through all the land. So what could they do? They could go back home, right? They go back to their home church. They've gone to accomplish what they set out to do, which was to strengthen the churches and to be faithful. But if you notice at the end of verse 6, notice what they do. At the end, it says they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and they've been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Which means that they're not going home, they're moving forward. Does that seem presumptuous of them to say, hey, we're going to go on rather than just strengthen the churches, we're going to go to these next places? Does that seem presumptuous by them to step out of God's will? Well, guess what? God's will for Paul and Silas was to spread the gospel. It was not just their will, it's our will. It's God's will for us. He told us in Acts 1:8, go therefore and make disciples. Let me do it practically like this. You don't have to pray this prayer, God, should I share the gospel with that person? The answer to that question is yes. Because we know it is what he's called us to do. So we look at this and we see that Paul and Silas, so let's put the map up there so you can actually see. They're prevented. So they've gone through all of Galatia. They've gone through that region. And so then they're going to go to Asia. Let's go to the next one, Jerry. And so after they've gone through that region, so Asia is where they're supposed to go. Now there's a road that we can't see on this map, but they were there in the very tip of the green corner there of Galatia. It's an Antioch Pisidia that actually goes westward, all the way down to Ephesus, which is on the coast of Asia. Now, so that you don't get confused, their Asia is not the same as our Asia of today. Okay, so if you're looking at that map, you're like, man, Asia got really small. Okay, different altogether, all right? So, rather than going westward, what we're told in this passage of Scripture, look at it again in verse 6, it says, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go speak the word there. Why would God prevent the gospel from being proclaimed? Think about it. You ever had tried to share the gospel with someone or want to, and it never seems like the opportunity presents itself? So what I want you to see is I want to talk about closed doors with you. We can have a heart and be willing, but sometimes God may have a different plan of what he's wanting to do. Now, going into Asia, this closed door was not necessarily something that was permanent. Because as we're going to see in just a moment, at the end of the second missionary journey, God does open the door for Paul to go back into Asia. He goes into Ephesus. But understand this. We don't know exactly how the Spirit told him no. It's possible his partner Silas could have actually gotten the word because Silas was a prophet, according to Acts chapter 14. God could have spoken to Silas and said, don't go here. Understand this. A closed door now may mean that God may have an open door later. A closed door now may be an open door later because what might be happening is the things that we can't see is God is the sovereign God, church family, and he orchestrates things that are beyond our visibility or our knowledge and possibly is orchestrating that very person to be receptive to hear what needs to be told to them at a later time. And this is exactly what happens. Paul goes back into Ephesus later on. And actually, just look at chapter 18 with me. Look at chapter 18, verse 18. We're kind of fast-forwarding through the end of his second missionary journey, and I want you to see how sensitive Paul is to the Spirit's leading. Notice what he says to them when he goes into Ephesus. Acts chapter 18, verse 18. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Kintre, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus. Ephesus is in Asia. Now, to get to Ephesus would have been much shorter if he would have just gone straight from that where he was in Galatia and cut across. But rather, God had a different plan. God was going to put him on a complete U-turn all the way on through multiple places to go share the gospel and come all the way back. Look there on the bottom left. See that green territory called Achaia on the left side? That red line across the sea that's going over to the red territory leading to Ephesus. That's a much longer route to get to Ephesus than if he would just cut across from Phrygia to there. Sometimes God takes us on long journeys because he's doing something that we can't see. We have to trust God in the closed doors of the opportunities that are in front of us. But in our flesh, sometimes we get frustrated at closed doors, don't we? What we see, what imagine though? Imagine with me if Paul and Silas and Timothy, back when they were in Antioch Pisidia, said, you know what? I'm going to go there anyway. The story would have turned out a lot different because the Spirit had already told them no. I think if I just was to ask you honestly, how many of you have tried to go against the will of God before? it doesn't turn out so good. And you may feel the Spirit's leading to say no, and you say, I think I'm going to do this. The Spirit say no. And then finally, God will say, fine, you just go right ahead. And then our attention is gathered because we fall flat on our face. And then what do we say? I shouldn't have gone. What I want you to see here is this, because continue down on Acts 18, I want you to notice the wording that is used here to describe Paul's actions. Verse 19 again. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. Now, Paul, God allowed him to go here this period of time. And actually, what we're going to see when we keep moving the book of Acts is God does open a door for him. He does go to Ephesus. And when he goes there, as we're going to see in a few weeks, is it wasn't so grand. He gets thrown in jail. But God births a great church in Ephesus. And it's actually the longest tenured place of his entire ministry. He stays there almost 3 years. But understand this, it took some time for God to open up that door. Just practically, let's talk about it like this. How many of you have tried to talk to someone about the gospel and they're just like a stone wall? They don't want to hear it, don't want to receive it. And you're thinking, God, I'm trying. Or you try and they just don't want to talk to you at all. Yeah. And in that moment, you can get frustrated and you can try to force the conversation, but you may do more damage than good. Rather than trusting for God to open that door for you, your faithfulness to your job is to be praying for that person and being sensitive as Paul and Silas were to just trust, because maybe that door is closed, but if that door is closed, there's probably someone else that God may be opening the door for you to be able to go to that he's already been working on to prepare their hearts to be able to hear. We have to trust the Spirit's leading. Listen to me. If you go back to Acts chapter 16, it hit me this week as I'm studying this passage of Scripture. Luke, who is the gospel writer writing this for us, it's interesting that he's saying, and they were forbade by the Holy Spirit to go there, and he just simply says, and they move on. Listen, hear me real close. You have to be walking in the Spirit to know when the Spirit is saying no to you. You have to be walking in the Spirit and walking with God and being in His Word, because listen, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. To be able to understand when God's leading and not leading, it's not like you can just look in the sky and interpret the clouds that, oh, that's God's sign for you. That would be wonderful at times of our lives, would it not? To have one of those planes that fly around with some kind of message and say, bing, 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 this is for you, Trent. This is for you, Byron. This is for you, Don. God's sending you a message. That would be awesome. It's like, oh, thank you, God, that's my answer. That'd be too easy, wouldn't it? We'd have planes flying all over. That one's for Byron, that one's for Carolyn, that one's for this one, that one's for this one. We'd be reading everybody's business then that way, wouldn't we? Didn't work that way. But we have to walk with the Lord to be able to trust His leading. He's given us the Spirit of God when we repent and place faith in Christ, and He puts His Spirit in us, and so we have to learn to listen. What I want to just encourage you with is this, is that, you know, God's closing a door. I want to read you a quote by James Montgomery Boyce. He was a pastor at 10th Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia who died of cancer. Actually was the pastor that I did my PhD dissertation on, and he made this statement about closed doors. He said this, when God closes doors, it is not because He has nothing for us to do. It is to keep us from getting into a work to which we're not called in order that we might be saved for a work to which we are called. It's good words. Real good words. You know, sometimes we get down, you know, when the door's not open. We're like, man. But God may have something else around the corner. Well, we see that they definitely traveled through the Galatian region, and then they were prevented from going through Asia, so they couldn't go westward. So their only option really is to go back home or to go north. So they didn't feel led to go back home, so they're trying to go to the next place, which is Bithynia. Look at your text again back in Acts chapter 16 and notice what it says there with me in verse 7. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them to go there. Here's two opportunities. Understand something. This is a lot of travel for God to say no. If we put that in our time, they're traveling hundreds of miles for God to say no. So they've said no, God said no to Asia, and all they know to do is to travel the main road, because then their heartbeat is to go share the gospel. But here's, I'm thinking about Bithynia, and I'm doing some research this time. Bithynia is not an evangelized territory, so why would God not allow them to go? Put it in modern times. There are still people groups in countries today who've not yet heard the gospel, or they are unevangelized. So make that modern practical application. Say that you came to me and says, Byron, I want to go to this people group. They've not heard the gospel. There's no witness there. There's no missionary. And I say, okay, we're going to pray for you. We're going to support, and the church is going to rally behind you. But every time you start taking those steps, it's a closed door, closed door, closed door, closed door. Why would that be the case if it's a people group who's yet to hear the gospel? If that's the case, in that moment we have to say, okay, obviously God has something else he's wanting that particular person to do. And that's what they had to do. And here's the thing I want you to see. When God closed the door to Bithynia, he had other plans for Bithynia, to use somebody else. You know, there are other people besides you and me to be used by God. And sometimes God needs a person's personality, their experience, and their background to relate to certain people better than us. Now don't start making excuses and say, okay, I don't have to talk to that person anymore. No, if God's put it on your heart to do so, that's obviously meaning God's prompting you to do so. But so what was God's plan? So I started doing some reading this week about Bithynia. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. So God is saying no to Paul and Silas and to Timothy to go to Bithynia, because God was going to be orchestrating something that was beyond Paul himself to get the gospel to Bithynia. All right, so let me put a timetable for you. In Acts chapter 16, we're around about AD 49. Peter is writing this book in 1 Peter around AD 60, so almost 10 to 11 years later in regards to events of what's taken place. 10 plus years later for God to orchestrate for the gospel to get there. What does he do? Notice with me 1 Peter chapter 1, and notice the region that Peter is writing to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles, meaning he's talking about to Christians, they're exiles, meaning that they've been scattered. They've been scattered from where they were. But now notice where they are. Exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and guess where? Bithynia. Guess what God was going to orchestrate? Guess what God was going to utilize? The persecution of Christians from the dispersion that took place, they're going to be scattered all over all these areas. And guess where some of these Christians are going to go? To Bithynia. Some 10 years after Paul had been told no. Paul may have not understood it, and he could have argued with God and said, but God, I'm going to go. But he doesn't. He just trusts that God is closing the door, because God is going to take persecution. He's going to take suffering of these Christians, and he's going to scatter them all over the place. And some of them are going to go to Bithynia, and they're going to be a gospel witness there. How do we know they're going to be a gospel witness? Look at chapter 2 and notice what Peter told them to do while they are there. Verse 9 of chapter 2. You are a chosen race. We're in 1 Peter still. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So guess what the Christians are supposed to do in Bithynia? Proclaim the excellencies of God to those people. And God had told Paul no, because he was going to send some other people there. So guess what? Your closed door may mean God is preparing somebody else to go to the very opportunity that you first thought was yours. So we have to trust God in the closed door. Well, after Paul and Silas and Timothy have been told no two times on Asia and Bithynia, so where else are they going to go? Well, if they go north, they're going to run to the Black Sea. So they have to go west. Just take a main road which goes all the way down to Troas, which is another coastal territory. And let's see what God does. Let's look at the text again. Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 16. And let's see. They've been faithful. This is one of those things in the Bible where, honestly, in my flesh and my insight, I would love to just like have a recording of Paul and Silas's, Timothy's conversation as they're trekking from all these places. I kind of doubt it's filled with murmuring like a lot of us are guilty of. And you know, we can talk about something for a long time, can't we? I mean, we can rub it in the ground. But here we see Paul and Silas and Timothy. I bet they're probably filled with joy because we know that because when they get in prison in just a couple of weeks, you know what they're doing in prison? Yeah, I bet when they get there and the doors close, they're like, okay, God, what's next? You know, just moving on to the next thing. Let's look at the text. Acts 16. Let's look at verse 8. So passing by Mysia, after they've been told no to Bithynia, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. If he's saying these words, that God has concluded to preach the gospel to them, by implication, he's saying God didn't obviously want us to go into Asia or into Bithynia and Pontus. He has a will for us to go into Macedonia to go share the gospel there. The two closed doors caused him to go all the way to Troas to be able to go. But listen to me. He had to take the journey of the no's before he could be able to get to the journey of the yes. It wasn't in Antioch of Pisidia when he was all the way in that middle of that territory that God said to Paul, hey, Paul, I want to take you to Troas, and then I'm going to use you there and send you to Macedonia. Sometimes we have to trust God in our faithful living to get us to the next step. Many of us want to be months ahead and years ahead rather than just trusting the first step that's in front of us is what God has called us to do. What does that work practically? What does it look like practically for us? It means today, you be a faithful, godly husband in the task that he's given you. It means you be faithful as a godly wife. It means children, those of you who are saved, that you be faithful as a godly child as he's called you to do. It means grandparent. It means parents of empty nesters. It means you trusting just to be faithful what God has already put in front of you. And if he closes those doors, then you trust that he's going to have something in front of you. Here's what I've said before. We don't have to pray for opportunities to open up around us. We just need to pray to be sensitive to the opportunities that God has around us because they're literally all around us. Being faithful in the routine. I want to show you that there's two reasons why God takes Paul to Troas. Number one, that is so that the gospel can go into Macedonia. And we see that. We saw that there on the mat. We'll put it back up there for you again that you can be able to see. So literally go over to Troas so they can go into Macedonia. That's a long ways away from their original place. But God had to take them on the journey to get them there. You ever had a moment in your Christian life that you finally get to a particular place in your walk with the Lord, and then you look back and you say, okay, now I understand why God brought me through that. Sometimes God takes us through things so that we can actually be more useful to the person that's down the road. But in the midst of the struggle and the wondering and the waiting and the impatience, we're questioning, God, what are you doing? Sometimes, or many times, things are much bigger than us. And God might be preparing us to be a useful tool. I'll just be honest and practical here. Back 2 years ago when I had all the back issues that I had, that was hard. That was really hard, but you guys were gracious. And I tell you, God used that long, hard journey to help me to be more sensitive to people in our body who have pain. You should before someone say, I've got this and that issue, and I say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. Now when someone has that issue, I say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm just saying practically, sometimes, because you know, you can look at that question, you can go through your journey, you can say, why me? Rather than saying that, you can say, okay, God, what do I need to learn? What do you need to teach me so that I can be a useful servant for you? This is what Paul and Silas and Timothy that we're seeing is so God took them all this journey of closed door, so that God can open up another door for them to be able to be used. You know what happens in Macedonia? Man, this is where the church of Philippi is, where the church of Thessalonica is. It's where Berea is, where we're going to learn in Acts, where those people that they were so studious on the Word of God, where Paul says, be like a Berean, study the Word of God. And God allows Paul to meet a lot of different people because he was faithful for the things that God had put in front of him. My plead with you, believer, plead with you as Redemption Family. Let's just be faithful with what God puts in front of us and trust that God has something else down the road. You know how Paul responds? When he finally gets the message, what does the Bible say? Look at it again in verse 10. When Paul had seen the vision, how quickly does he go? Immediately. Now understand something. Paul is able to distinguish when it's God's will and when it's not. And when it is, he acts. He's ready to go. Faithfulness to trust. Okay, God, you close that door. God, you close that door. Here's the door. Let's go. And Paul is ready. And immediately the promptness and the faithfulness to trust in God. There's a second reason that God takes him there, and that is that God is going to add a partner to his ministry in the person of Luke. Did you notice the pronoun change in these verses? Look at verse 6. Now, Luke is the gospel writer of the book of Acts. Notice the pronoun changes. Verse 6, they went through the region. Luke is talking about Paul, Silas, and Timothy. But notice verse 8, where do they go through? They pass by Mysia, and they go down to Troas. Verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, how's the pronoun change? We sought to go on into Macedonia. That's awesome. You say, it's a pronoun. It's so awesome to be able to see. And you look at this and you see, because Paul had Silas, he had Timothy, but God takes him on these nose to get to Troas, to be able to connect him with another gospel partner of Luke. Listen, you wouldn't have the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts if Paul hadn't had closed doors. You got it? The closed doors is what enabled Luke to be a companion of Paul, for Luke to be an eyewitness to all the things that happened. We have the book of Acts. If we didn't have the book of Acts, we would have a whole of history in the story of the Gospels, and then we'd have the Gospels, and then we'd have the letters. The book of Acts connects all the two, and it's all because God said no to Paul in some of his journeys. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Your nose might be that God is doing something far greater, maybe not even through you, but through someone else, because you had a no. We don't like no's very well, do we? You know, Luke was he was a Gentile. You know why it's so important? Because Paul's primary ministry was going to be to Gentiles. And so Luke was going to be beneficial to him. Luke was a physician. That was going to be very beneficial to Paul, because Paul got beat, he got whipped, he got put in prison. And Luke was a faithful companion, because when you look at the letters, you will see that he was with him all the way to the very end. Now, what do we take from a story like this? You look at this Bible and you say, okay, Pastor, but I'm not on a missionary journey like this. I want to remind you that you are on a journey. As a believer, you and I are on a journey to follow Christ. We saw it last week, that our eyes would be kept on Jesus. Our memory verse of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We're running a race and our eyes are fixed on Jesus. And our journey is to follow Him and to be faithful to Him. I don't know what you are in your own life. As we think about this application, certainly the open doors and closed doors, specifically in regards to gospel sharing. Let's start there first. God has closed the door for you to be able to not share the gospel with someone. Trust that He is orchestrating for you to share with that person maybe a different time. Or trust that He has someone else to share. Listen, there's 7 billion people in the world, and half of those people have not even believed or heard the gospel. So I think that there's probably somebody else that you can share the gospel with. But I want to share with you just a couple of challenges. Number one, let me just give you several in closing here. Be faithful in the ordinary, and trust God for the extraordinary. Be faithful. I want to share with you something that happened to me this past week. you know, with our building project that's coming along, thank God, with everything that's happening at the site. And I'm there a lot, kind of being project manager, kind of overseeing some things along with our building team. And our building erector, they put the metal building up several months ago, but they had to come back and do some things. And I got to share the gospel with several of those guys. I shared this story with a couple of people. There was one particular guy that I really felt burdened to share with several months ago. But closed door, closed door, closed door. Couldn't get the opportunity. I'm like, okay, God, I just have to trust that you're going to give me the opportunity. So this past week, they're over there working, and I go back at the end of the day, and everybody's gone, and he's there by himself, sitting on a 5-gallon bucket under the porch. And I said, oh, yeah. But at the same time, I had a time crunch issue. I had to go somewhere and get something for a subcontractor and get back by some other time for the next appointment that I had. And I'm like, God, I'm not going to have time. How am I going to have time to share with him? Because I don't want to just go up there and say, Jesus loves you. Do you know him? Okay, I love you too. I'm going to see you later. I want to have a conversation with him. So I said, you know what? Forget the schedule. Here's the opportunity that I prayed for months ago. Being faithful just in the ordinary task, God opened up an extraordinary opportunity. I don't want to tell you, this guy's rough. But God opened up that opportunity, and it was an awesome conversation. I sat down, I talked to him, and we began to share, and come to find out his mama was a very faithful Christian. And she told him on her deathbed, the last thing I want for you is to love God and put him first. He knew the gospel. I said, what are you waiting on? He said, I don't know, maybe some more sending. I told him, I said, man, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I told him this. I said, listen, I was about to leave, and God prompted my heart to come talk to you. He said, I know. I felt it on you when you walked by. Now, he didn't repent and believe that day. But it's just one of those good things that for me, as I'm studying this passage of Scripture, I'm saying, God, thank you for giving me a practical story of just being faithful and that you open up the extraordinary. You know, my interaction with him now has been different. Now when he sees me on the property, hey, Brother Byron, how you doing? His name is Russ. Let's pray for Russ today to come to faith in Jesus and for more opportunities to water the gospel. Let me give you another second application. If God closes a door of opportunity for you and a person shuts it down, don't force the door open. Trust that he's going to open the door when it's time. Number three, trust that God's closed doors to you in your life right now means he has another plan for you for the future. Number four, listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. An open door in your life does not equate with an open door from God. Listen to me very closely again. An open door opportunity to share the gospel is always an open door from God. But I don't want us to take the practical principle of open door from gospel sharing and say, if there's an open door in my life, that means it must be from God. Satan can open up a lot of temptation doors in front of you, and that doesn't mean it's from God. There can actually be good things in your life as well that could be, quote, an open door, but it may not be God's will for you. You say, well, how in the world am I supposed to know the difference between God's open doors and Satan's doors, or if it's God's will for you? This is where we learn the lesson from Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. You have to walk in the Spirit to be able to sense and to know, just like they did when God said no and when God said yes. I'm going to give you the decision-making paradigm I've given you before in conclusion. When you're looking at decision-making and God's will and the principles of your life, number one, always start with God and Scripture. If you're looking at it and you say, I think this is God's will, but if the Bible contradicts it, it can't be God's will. I've heard people say, I've counseled people before, and they were in relationships and marriages, and heard someone literally from their mouth say, well, God opened up this opportunity for this job or for that person, so it must be God's will. How ludicrous is that? That's not God's will if it's contradictory to Scripture. Start with God and Scripture, and then secondly, then go to reason. Use your mind. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Think through it. Is this right? Could this actually be right? Thirdly, look at tradition, like biblical tradition and church tradition, and say, what has the church said about these particular things or actions? And then fourthly, you can look at your emotions or your feelings and to say, this thing seems right. But listen, here's the problem. If we start at the bottom with always where something feels right about an open door, guess what? Our emotions will lead us astray. Your emotions are not wrong as long as your emotions are in touch with the Scripture. Church family, let's be faithful because God may have other doors for us that He may open. One last story to conclude. Several years ago, we were walking through the book of James together as I was preaching through that. And it was there in the book of James where it says, if you have clothes, give to your brother. If you have food, to give it to them. It was after that particular sermon, actually having an idea from Jared Berry's dad, Tommy Berry, who's here today, for this property of land that's back here. And he had made an idea. So, you know, it'd be great for y'all to do a garden back there or something like that with that land. Use it. I just kind of mentioned that off the cuff in a sermon. And after that sermon, Harry Boylan, sitting back there, and Jason Gerritsen, sitting over here, came to me after that sermon. They said, that's it. I said, what's it? That's what God wants us to do. I said, okay. They said, well, can we do it? I said, yeah. The next day, man, they had plows, they had tractors, they were tearing up the dirt out there, getting ready to go. They were just being faithful what God put in front of them. Now, we did the garden for a little while, and then that has developed into now a compassion food ministry with a trailer for clothes and a trailer for food to give clothes to over 500 people a year, to give food to about 160 families plus per month. So when I shared that sermon, I didn't say, I have this vision from God that there's going to be a red trailer and a gray trailer and one's going to have clothes and one's going to have food. We just trusted the first step of what God had put in front of us. And being faithful, and we have some, y'all, those of you who serve in that ministry, y'all are awesome. Y'all are faithful, good servants, and I appreciate all that you do. But where we are with our compassion ministry should be a lesson for us. Just be faithful with what God puts in front of us and trust that God may open up greater doors for the future. And for us, even as a church, we have been faithful to trust God's timing, even to be here and to move to 434. When we move there, let's just be faithful to delight in God, to declare Jesus, and to disciple people. And let's trust God to expand the ministry in His time. Amen. Let's pray. Father, You are so good to us today. Good time to sing to You and to worship You and just lift our voices to You. Father, You've been good to us today from Your Word. How good Your Word is. Lord, thank You for the example that we see in Paul and Timothy and Silas and just being faithful to the task that You've called them to do and to build up believers. But yet, listening to Your Spirit when You close the doors and then them being able to determine when You said yes for the next door. Lord, as Your children and as Your feet people, we want to be good servants to You. Help us when we complain or murmur. Maybe some of us in this room have fallen prey to becoming just murmurers rather than being faithful to what God has in front of us. Lord, if that's the case, then convict our hearts and renew our passion and our faithfulness to You. Lord, thank you for the faithful servants that you do have in Redemption Church. And God, I pray you just renew their zeal and trust that their faithfulness is not in vain, but it's for your glory and your good. God, there's probably people in this room, people who are listening by stream this morning, who have a heart for certain people who need the gospel. And they've tried to share, and maybe the doors have been shut time and time again. Lord, I pray that you would not allow us to lose heart, but to trust that maybe another opportunity is down the road. Or maybe you have someone else that's come along to share with that person. So God, I pray you would encourage our hearts when we've had doors slammed in our faces, conversations shut down, that you are the God who is sovereign over all. But Lord, I do pray that when you do give us that open door, we will act just as quickly as Paul did. That we'll take it and we'll go. So God, I pray for those in this room right now that maybe they've been putting off an open door that they know that you've given to them. They've been maybe because of fear, maybe because they've not known what to say. They're afraid they're going to stumble over their words. God, I pray today you would give courage to them. That this week, maybe even today, you would give them that courage to take that first step. To call that person. Talk to that person. Talk to that coworker. Talk to that child. Talk to that parent. Talk to that uncle. Talk to that aunt. Or talk to that neighbor. And trust that you're going to be the one is going to take that gospel message and water it and bring a harvest. Father, if there are any today who have not yet to repent and believe in the great story of your son Jesus, let today be your day. God, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand and we're going to have a song where we sing an old hymn that we've not sung in a while called Trust and Obey. How fitting today in regards to this message. We will trust him and we will obey him. So as we sing this, Jared Bear, our youth pastor, and I will be here if you need prayer for anything. And you can come here. We'll pray with you. But let's sing this song as a prayer to God.